at Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I second that emotion on your radio friend on this particular Tuesday. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, behind the microphone, spinning the tunes, talking to the interesting community conversationalists. Speaking of which, he is Richard Saunders, the inventor of a technique that he calls method writing, which he has used to successfully impersonate an independent political operative, a scientist, a computer hacker, an undercover police officer, an attorney, a philanthropist, and an Avenger, among many others. He single-handedly prosecuted a high-profile lawsuit against Donald Trump and an army of lawyers in 2007 while impersonating an attorney before the federal court in Boston. I say it often, beautiful humans, but this ain't going to be boring. Please welcome to AM 1400, Mr. Richard Saunders. Richard!
Yes, thank you, Mr. Klein, and thank you, WRJN, and the good citizens of Milwaukee for hosting me this afternoon.
Yeah, you got Milwaukee, you got Kenosha, you got Burlington, you got Racine, and frankly, Northern Illinois and people all over the planet, because in a past life, I used to do a podcast that used to be, or eventually was listened in by 185 countries. So we're talking to a lot of folks around the planet right now. Yes, well, thank you very much. All right, so where are you this morning?
I'm calling from southern New Hampshire this afternoon.
You got snow on the ground up there?
No snow at all, and it's been mild so far this season.
Yes, I'm influencing the entire planet. I just moved here from Florida, and I told the Almighty that I would move from Tampa to southern Wisconsin if we'd have a mild winter. And so far, so good.
Excellent.
And if you believe that, I've got an impersonation for you. So you're like a real-life Leonardo DiCaprio character in that Tom Hanks movie, Catch Me If You Can. Oh, actually, that guy was a true character as well.
Yeah, and that's amazing you say that, because, yes, it is very similar. And my inspiration for this was a character similar to DiCaprio's, only much earlier. Fred DeMara was known as the Great Imposter. I grew up in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and the Great Imposter came from Lawrence, Mass. It was the number one movie around in the early 60s with Tony Curtis playing the role of the Great Imposter. And I said, boy, if a kid from my neighborhood that went to my church and my school could become a Great Imposter, I could do that too. And I came up with crazy ideas. I was a young kid, impressionable, and I modeled a lot of my behaviors after that character.
How much money have you made? You don't have to get specific, but have you made a living doing this?
No, not at all. In fact, one of the areas that I work with is just charitable. I do this for entertainment. If I make something excessive over it, it goes elsewhere. So this isn't a...
What do you do for a living?
Money-making. I've been an electronic technician and engineer and currently employed as a technology manager.
Really?
Yes.
Well, his name is Richard Saunders. He is the author of the recently released novel, Journey, a Short Story. It's a Da Vinci Code-like maze of intricate subplots and insights into the minds of people making today's headlines. All right, so it's 2007, and you prosecuted a high-profile lawsuit against Donald Trump?
Exactly. What happened was, in this guise of trying to be the next great imposter, I have a list of occupations that... I'd like to impersonate a lawyer at some point, and I need a case that isn't ordinary to pull this off. In writing my fiction, I impersonate the protagonist in my novel, who is Albert Einstein reincarnated. So I have to do something that looks smart and prevails against an adversary that's somebody substantial.
So you didn't actually do this?
I did the first, what I do is it's kind of like a performance art. I will dream up a scenario, try and act it out in real life, and then fictionalize it in my novel, Secret Agent Man.
So did you act out this impersonation of a high-powered attorney suing Donald Trump?
Right. I was looking for a case. And what happened was I watched a television show in like 2004 or 5. The Apprentice started, and I saw a pattern of discrimination in employment hiring. Because The Apprentice, when the cameras are shut off and the show is over, somebody wins a job in the Trump organization, a real-life $250,000 a year salary job. And what happened was they casted finalists for this as if they were doing just another reality show, another TV show, in which they didn't normally have to go by employment laws. This is a very unique situation that because somebody wins a job in this show, he had to follow the employment laws, but they had exhibited a consistent pattern of every finalist for the first three seasons in a row was under 40 years old. They said they had over 1 million applicants and 18 finalists every season. Season after season, there was nobody over 39. So that appeared to have a pattern of discrimination. I approached the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. They have to certify a case before it's allowed to go to federal court as being viable and not a flimsy case. So they certified, gave me a right to sue order to take Donald Trump and Mark Burnett to federal court.
Did you?
And I did. At first, what I tried to do was, once I had the right to sue order, that had a 90-day period that gave me the right to sue. I informed the Trump and Burnett organizations I was in possession of this order, and I would prefer to quietly negotiate a settlement, a non-monetary settlement, to push this through. So I negotiated with the lawyers, and we were heading towards a settlement, but it got to be around the same time of year. Holidays coming up, they lost track, and we didn't get it done before my 90 days was going to expire. So in order to keep my options open, I had to put the case in the federal court.
Then
we did. It made worldwide headlines, and we eventually did settle it, but it made it a lot more complicated.
What was the settlement for?
I wasn't allowed by the court, actually by the language in the settlement, to discuss it, but I basically can say that I was advocating for a protected class, so I was looking for them to do certain things to advocate for that class and, of course, to stop any pattern of discrimination on the show. They switched modes to a celebrity apprentice, which I talked about during negotiations, that's a good idea because nobody wins a job in it. They can have whoever they want, and then the money just goes to charity. So that's what came out of that.
We're talking with Richard Saunders, who is the great imposter. He single-handedly prosecuted a high-profile lawsuit against Donald Trump in 2007 about The Apprentice, apparently. Can't you get in trouble for impersonating an attorney?
Well, we use the term loosely. I was pro se, representing myself. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission gave me the right to become the lead plaintiff in potentially a massive class action suit. Every person who applied to be on that apprentice show that was over 40 years old that appeared to be a case where they had casting people instead of hiring managers from an HR department, it gave the appearance that the casting people were looking for strictly younger people to put on the show. So, I didn't go to the court and say, I'm a lawyer, but I wrote the lawsuit. The lawsuit is at the very end of the book, and people can see it was very professionally written, and I didn't use any lawyers to consult it. I learned how to prosecute a lawsuit, how to write it, and took care of the whole thing by myself without any help, negotiating with lawyers on both Trump and Mark Burnett, the producer side.
Well, you must have done quite a bit of research about Donald Trump back while you were writing this book and prosecuting this case. How consistent with what we're seeing, including what he came out with just yesterday about how he doesn't want to allow any Muslims into the country, how consistent is that with the Donald Trump that you studied?
It's kind of a little bit surprising, to tell you the truth. When he first started coming out 4 years ago or so, he started coming out in favor of catering to the people with the so-called brother movement, questioning Obama's birth certificate. I think he knows that that was really a non-issue. I think he just catered to a group of people that was substantial, fairly substantial, that nobody else was willing to cater to. President Obama's mother, no one contends that she wasn't a U.S. citizen, born and raised in the U.S. herself, which makes him a citizen. So regardless of the birth certificate thing, so he had to know that that wasn't a real issue, but he seemed willing to cater to it to gather political supporters that nobody else was willing to go after.
Well, he has said things, and said things in a way that no political candidate for president has ever said. I mean, he says he's going to bomb the bleep. He said this in a nationally covered presidential campaign appearance. He's going to bomb the bleep out of ISIS. He called these guys chicken bleep. He uses language and concepts that nobody has ever done in the history of presidential politics in this country. Why do you think he's doing this?
You're right. It's completely unprecedented, and I think a substantial part of it is that is his personality, a sort of self-made billionaire. He had kind of a head start, but he doesn't care what people think about him. I think he does lean towards some of these positions, although he takes them like he takes everything to kind of extremes in his showmanship kind of way. But he's catering. There's a 30% chunk of voters out there in the Republican Party that nobody wants to completely represent, and I think he saw an opportunity to be their champion and speak to their issues and with a kind of non-politically correct manner that they're hoping a leader would exhibit.
Most people did not think that he was going to run for president because he had talked about it so many times before. And then people were surprised when he ran. Then people were surprised when he filed the proper paperwork. It seems like, from an outsider's viewpoint, not being able to get into the brain of Donald Trump, and I'm not sure that anybody would really want to, but it seems like all along the way, whether it be the issue of the fence that he wants to build, the wall that he wants to build, and the way that he articulated that right up until yesterday's campaign appearance, where, by the way, beautiful humans, it was not an off-the-cuff remark that he made. It was a prepared statement that he would not want to allow Muslims into this country for a period of time until, as he put it, our representatives know what the hell is going on. How much do you think he might be actually just trying to see how much he can get away with while trying to sabotage his own campaign because he really doesn't want to be president?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. That position yesterday isn't even that far from Ted Cruz's official position, which he says he wants a 3-year moratorium. So Trump's saying the same thing without defining the amount of time that he wants to ban the immigration. I don't think he sabotaged his campaign. I think he thinks that this is his way to win, or his most viable path to garnering the voters that no one else is representing wants to represent.
Well, the last time that we saw a candidate be this derided from the left and from the mainstream media was Ronald Reagan. They did not take him as a serious candidate, and then, of course, the rest is history. But Reagan pales in comparison to what Trump is doing and how he's approaching it. Now they're saying that this is where he crossed the line. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that he is a publicity genius. Everybody around the world is talking about Donald Trump today. And how much do you think that that was his intention with this?
Oh, that's definitely. He's a genius at marketing, and sure that's played a big role in how he built his business as big as it was. And yeah, there's no question. It's how much of it is his real beliefs and how much is the showmanship that is the big question. The big difference with him and Ronald Reagan was, aside from the left questioning his ability and his experience to lead, is he was likable. Once you get too far outside Trump's base of 30 to 33%, his core base, he's got very high unlikables, up to 65%. So his best plan to get him the nomination, his best chance, is that if 4 or 5 or 6 other candidates stay deep into the primaries, so that his core group of 30-something percent remains the plurality through a good portion of the primaries. If the Republicans coalesce behind one candidate against him, now he starts winning 30%, 35% of the primary, and his opponent is going to get 60%. So that's kind of how this is going to play out, one way or another. If they don't coalesce soon behind a candidate early in the process, he might roll all the way to the convention.
This is your radio friend, WRJN. We're talking with Richard Saunders, who is the author of the recently released novel, Journey, A Short Story. And you can check it out at secretagentman.org. You know, Trump has made a big deal about his negotiating abilities, and he obviously is a great negotiator. I'm wondering, you build a wall, and you say Mexico is going to pay for it. You talk about Muslims not being able to come into the country. So many of the outrageous things that he said, how much do you think that's just a negotiating position on his part?
Yeah, negotiating or catering, or one or the other. Presidential campaigns are fraught with promises people knew they weren't really going to be able to keep, but that sold well. So in that way, he's not all that different from a lot of other campaigns that had to back off a lot of promises. He's just more on the fringe of all these promises than anyone's ever been before.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. This is very interesting, and as the New Hampshire primary gets closer, we'd like to check back in with you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, there he goes. Holy mackerel.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
WRJN covers the world at high noon.
Trump Traversy, Chicago investigation. I'm Chaz Henry. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump continues to defend his proposal.